Is this what you do for a living, Dad?
It turns out that the Oregon law, by the way, is different than we thought it was.
Yeah, that was an interesting bit of feedback we got last week. Yeah, I guess it's like depending on the population of the city, there's
no horses. It's actually the population of the county. So if the county has less than 40,000 people in it, you can pump your own gas.
Oh, yeah, which would probably be true where I was at. That's interesting. I wonder why people even care. You know, that's the thing that struck – that was really my takeaway is like so much discussion. And it's even more nuanced than the point I was trying to make last week. And yet these kind of stories blow up.
It's even crazier though because if the place has like a retail operation and it's not just gas pumps, they still have to have an attendant anyway from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. People can only pump their gas at like places that have snack stores. After 6 until 6 a.m.
I like you, now you got to do that math. Oh, yeah. Does that one have the snack store? No. Okay. I can't go there. Oh, man. So today is a special day because we had an opening in the schedule, and a special somebody stopped by the studio and forced his way onto microphone.
Oh, man.
He's just about to sneak out, but Dylan, say hello to the User Air audience.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
How's that milkshake?
Good.
It's good? Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we got a couple of things to cover here we got to talk about.
Okay.
I figured since you and I have been slipping, we haven't gotten to like a stack of Ask Air questions that have come into the show for the last because you know we had Wimpy on, and then it was our first episode after the holidays, and Noah was on, and
loudmouths.
So we thought we would try to catch up on a big batch of them because there's some really good ones that have come into the show. Which means we also are going to need more questions. Hashtag Ask Air, Discord, Telegram, Jupiter Group, or on Twitter, and then ask us your question. But let's start out with just a little bit of tech news, a little bit of quote-unquote tech news, because CES wrapped up.
CES.
And
Cesspool?
Yeah. Yeah, the Cesspool 2018. And it just wrapped up, and it was the year of the virtual assistants and smart speakers. Google and Amazon in particular. Of course, Google made a huge push to get a huge presence there. Lots of billboards, lots of stupid signs. And then there was this giant ecosystem around the Echo. Lots of different third-party vendors there, including a smart toilet seat. It's a phrase where you literally walk in and you say, a word, lift the toilet seat, and then it lifts the toilet seat. And you can also ask the toilet to close it, flush for you, switch on a particular bidet spray setting. The smart toilet is officially here, Beard.
I mean, I'm in.
Really? You're not worried about like them having that particular data point on you?
I mean, if they want to know when I'm going to crap, they can know when I'm going to crap. I just want something that'll remember to put the toilet seat down so I don't get yelled at.
Let's see what open the toilet. See what she says. No, she doesn't know what to do. What do you think of this, Dylan? Asking the Echo to open the toilet, flush it for you, would you be into that?
Yes, I would. That'd be so cool.
What, Dylan?
Then you wouldn't have to, like a public toilet, you wouldn't have to put your hands on a very dirty toilet.
That's true.
That other people
push. Oh, that's a good point.
Pee on. Like, people literally just pee all over the place. They don't even aim for the toilet.
Okay, well, I guess it would be a lot better in a public toilet setting. You're right. It's actually where I would prefer to have it.
How do you know that they're not already collecting data with those infrared sensors at some of those public toilets?
Hmm. That's a creepy thought. That's a really creepy. You know, this whole CES stuff, the reason why I wanted to start with this, because I just got to get this out of my system. I've been living the Echo lifestyle really heavy. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how I got that free Echo Dot with my Bose speaker that I put in the bedroom. And now since then, it kind of blew up. I also got a Sonos One with the A word built in. And I also ended up a while ago backing an Indiegogo project. And I got the Indiegogo project product just recently. And it's called the Muse, which is the Echo for the vehicle. It goes through your smartphone's data connection and it gives you essentially the Echo on demand in your vehicle for streaming music, playing podcasts, there's all kinds of things. And so I recently just took this crazy deep dive to really see how far I could push this. How useful can I actually make this? And there's one feature that I found really, really kind of great when it comes to the cars. I would get my vehicle And I would say the invocation word, you know, the A word, and I'd say, what's new? And then it comes back with this flash briefing system that I really...
In weather. Currently, in Ashburn, it's 32 degrees with clear skies and sun. Tonight, you can expect clouds with a low of 24 degrees.
And it'll also start streaming news. It can stream, like, I have it stacked to give me, like, Bitcoin prices, to give me the New York Times that day, to give me Fox News, NPR, our local CBS affiliates here in Seattle, just a whole range of stuff. So it's really, like, it was this great way to get an update really quick. But what developed as I further went into using the Echo Everywhere is it was what it started to feel like to me was an omnipresent operating system where it was truly configure it once and then your settings are everywhere across every device in every setting. It didn't matter if I was invoking it from a smartphone app, like Reverb, which is a really, if you want to just mess around with an Echo, you can get Reverb on your smartphone and you get a lot of the functionality. And there's also a web testing site, which is awesome for like writing skills and testing it, that you can play around with some of the different functionality. So I started playing around with this stuff and realized that I could configure one podcast player, one news source. I could configure these kinds of little things in one place and have the information set everywhere. That was pretty great. So I set up AnyPod. And I subscribe to podcasts using AnyPod. And then anywhere I go, I can invoke my podcasts. And they're all synced. They're all remember where they left off. It's pretty great. I started using to-do list management and grocery shop list management, which would sync with my phone. Using different like macro functions too and routines, you can combine actions together. And I started also, because it's cold out right now and we have these little portable space heaters in the RV, I started connecting those to smart plugs so we can just, while laying in bed, turn the additional like little extra heaters on and off. And there's so many little things that coming out of CES 2018, I know why they're building it into a toilet. I know why they're building it into bathroom mirrors, multi-cookers, even smoke detectors are getting Echo functionality built in now. And it's because... a light switch. iHome is making a light switch with the Echo functionality built in. So it's just a light switch on your wall, and it's completely connected to the back-end Echo infrastructure. And I'm not saying the A word on purpose. And this is omnipresence. It's in lamps. It's in refrigerators. It's everywhere. And that omnipresence is what makes it great. Like, the more – it's creepy, scary. I mean, more valuable though at the same time. So when it's like a snowball, as it gets everywhere, it's going to get even more useful because you no longer have to set up your news feed and your email and your podcast and your calendar on every little device that you work at. You no longer need something that works on iOS and the Linux desktop or Windows and whatever. It's all handled up in the Echo Cloud, and it all is accessible from any of these devices, from lady tubes to smartphone apps. And it's so nice and easy that I think this is inevitable. I think it's creepy, and maybe that's the part we could talk about. I'm not sure the nugget is. It's all early days too. Like this Muse device, didn't really work that well for me because of road noise and stuff. But I can see where it seems now obvious to me where this is going. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I mean, I'm not sure either. You're way deeper into it than I am. So like. I barely have like a concept of like how this stuff can affect our lives.
It is one of the hardest product I think, this is my personal opinion, I think it's one of the hardest product categories to understand until you have a couple of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because when you just have one, you don't really even think to use it. When you just have like a Dot on your desk or a lady tube in your kitchen, you might think to use it for like timers, checking the weather, maybe a couple of other things, but you don't tend to really – it's sort of like the fact that we've been able to say, okay, Google, to our phones for years now, and people rarely do that still.
I do it all the time.
It takes a long time. Yeah, you and I do it more, I think, than a lot of people do. And that's, but it does – you eventually – like you start to integrate – that's kind of where I was going with it. You start to integrate it into your workflow once you've got a couple of things that you found it's useful for, and – it's pretty easy to expand the usefulness of these once you start buying accessories. like smart plugs and thermostats and security cameras, all these cloud connected devices that are all constantly watching you and monitoring you, they all add more value. And once you start getting, like, for example, I sit down in my truck and I say, okay, Lady Tube, turn on the heater at home. And by the time I get home, the place is all warmed up and it's comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't even think about it anymore. As soon as the idea of, oh, I bet it might be cold at home and I'm going to be home soon, as soon as I have that thought cross my mind, I bark at a Lady Tube and it's taken care of immediately.
Yeah, clearly Amazon agrees that the more places you have it, the more likely you are to use it because they're letting everybody put it in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I saw a 4K projector that had Alexa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Multi-cookers, dude. Multi-cookers.
I mean, that one makes the most sense to me out of all of them. You can just put your stuff in there and when it's time, turn it on.
Yeah. Yeah. The Muse device showed an interesting, like, licensing limitation. Like, for example, I bet you this won't work. So this is the Echo Sim.io, which is a turn on the console. If you want to know how these things work and the data they're collecting, go to echosim.io and turn on the console, because this is built by a third party and it dumps the communication back on the console between the Echo and the Echo service. And so I believe this is going to bomb, but typically you could say, hey, A-word, play today's hits. And it would come back and it would start just immediately saying from Amazon Music, and it just starts playing the top song of the day. But it appears that you have to have a hardware component to be able to stream music because of licensing issues. So the Muse specifically has to have like a third-party Bluetooth little hardware component that's doing the Echo listening and controlling, quote unquote, in order to be licensed to play music. So there's weird rough edges in how you can cram this thing into different devices, but they're just changing their licensing, they've just launched an additional SDK this week to make it easier to integrate into things like mirrors and lamps. And so GE is launching a lamp that has the Echo built in, and a couple other companies are launching mirrors and stuff like that. And it just seems like a snowball. Like, that's what I say. It's just inevitable. It's inevitable that this is going to be huge. And
Amazon's going to own our lives.
Well, I wonder, because it seems like there's still a possibility that Google could be better. Yeah, see, it never even plays the music. It seems like there's a possibility that Google could be better at some of this stuff.
Well, supposedly Lenovo released a smart display that has a Google
Assistant. Not released, but they just talked about it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But apparently everybody's saying it's looking like it's going to be better than the Echo Show or Peak or whatever it is.
We'll see. We'll see. So what Google showed off was all demo screens. Because I read a review where somebody actually got to like go up to it, and like if you start touching it and stuff, it immediately like goes off into that. It's like a video. It was all pre-rendered. Like none of there's no functional code for a lot of the stuff that they showed on the screen, which is a little sketch when you compare it to the Echo Show, which is already shipping.
But it doesn't seem to be very popular.
I don't know. I don't know about that. The Echoes sold like crazy over the holidays. They were the number one selling. I don't know about the Show though.
Yeah, the Echo has. The Show, it seems like, hasn't gotten any traction at all.
Have you seen the Spot?
No.
Yeah, I know. There's so many now. You can't even keep track of how many. I can't either. And I
big one is the Max.
Yes, right. The one with the good speaker is the Max. So the Echo Spot is a small round screen one. Have you seen the one with the round screen, which would be great for like an alarm clock?
So is it like the video version of the Dot?
Yes, exactly. Instead of like it's not on the surface of the Dot, it's like it's got a it almost looks like a magic eight ball. It's like a big magic eight ball cut open. Here, I'll send it to you in Telegram so you have a picture, but I'll put a link in the show notes too. And that, I think, is going to be way more popular than the Show, because it still gives you contextual information like lyrics, weather cards, traffic cards, and it can play video, and it can even do their calling service. And then when you're not using it for any – and it can tune in security cameras and stuff, so you can see them on there. And when you're not using it for any of that stuff, it just goes back to like like a clock. Basically.
Plus, it's only $129.
Yeah, and you know that's because it's brand new. Even. Yeah. It's going to be even cheaper than that one day.
Oh, yeah. It'll probably be like $50.
They're giving the Dots away constantly.
Or you have a You get a combo deal, Echo Spot, Echo Dot for $99.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I got my latest Dot for totally for free. Just came with my speaker.
Wow.
That's where they're gonna get to with these things too. And the other, and I feel like this is working. The other formula that the Echoes are doing that Google isn't doing yet, and Apple hasn't even attempted to do yet, is the whole different range of types. You know, they have like the traditional Lady Tube, and there's a real range of like there's as cheap as $30 sometimes up to $400. So, yeah. Anyways, that's my really long, unnecessarily annoying way to say, prepare yourselves if you are a hater of this technology. It's just begun. It's about to get so much worse, and this is the year of it.
There's some interesting stuff in this Amazon Echo Spot page. Like, they have a Echo Spot TP-Link bulb combination. But
yeah,
the thing that I found interesting is over under the add to cart, there's an add services button that is offering me a free Amazon smart home consultation.
Right. And then during the holidays, for a lot of products, if you opted for less expensive shipping and less rush shipping, they would give you $10 in install credits.
That's interesting.
So they're sort of like comping that, which I don't know why you would need a professional installer, but the whole idea is professional installer comes out, plugs in the Echo Spot for you, plugs in your security camera that you bought with it, plugs in your smart thing, connects them all up, and says, there you go, and it's 100-something bucks. And then Amazon just sits there and skiffs that off to people constantly if they're willing to go with like cheap shipping and stuff.
I guess it's kind of nice that if it breaks, you have somebody else to play.
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm just, I don't know. I think Amazon's one of the scariest companies in tech. And basically...
But also one of the most useful.
Yeah, it's basically, for me, the scariest companies in tech are Google and Amazon. And then, like, you know, others like Microsoft and Apple's, like, slot in there. But there's, like, it's like, that is, like, there's, like, that next tier, there's, like, 30 companies in there that are, all have raised concerns, but they don't actually legitimately scare me.
Yeah.
But Google and Amazon, I genuinely am worried about where our future is going.
Oh, Facebook.
With them. Yeah, I suppose Facebook too. I don't use Facebook as much, so it doesn't really.
Yeah.
I don't use Facebook, so it's not really on my radar. And they don't seem like such like a heavyweight like Amazon does, but they are big. You know what I mean, though? Like, there's certain companies that are creepier, and Amazon's getting to be more and more that. And every time you really see them get in a real position of dominance, they seem to be pretty willing to throw down and play hardball. DigitalOcean.com. Go over there, create your account, and then use our promo code of power and authority. Here's the thing. One word, smushed together like a jerk. You smash that into the promo code box, and you get $10 of credit. Now, you can get their $5 a month rig spun up. Run it for 2 months in less than 55 seconds. DigitalOcean.com. Everything uses SSDs. Every machine is crazy fast. 40 gigabit connections come into those hypervisors. The base systems run in Linux, KVM for the virtualizer, and then an amazing dashboard on top of all of it that makes it really easy and straightforward to manage your systems. And then they have a massive bench of solid documentation. If you ever want to do anything, this is sort of out in the weeds. Monitoring and alerting that's baked right in, load balancing as a service, and team support. You combine that with their simple API, which means there's lots of great open source apps written, built, created for DigitalOcean. It makes it so easy to use if you're a longtime pro or a brand noobs. There's lots of stuff. I was just this last weekend playing with Nextcloud 13 on DigitalOcean. It's mind-blowing now because you deploy the droplet, like an Ubuntu LTS droplet, in less than 55 seconds. Then you get the SSH login information. You log in, get a shell, sudo snap install Nextcloud, and you're done. You're done. You're running Nextcloud. You could try out Nextcloud 13 and Nextcloud Talk in probably less than 5 minutes. DigitalOcean.com, promo code, here's the thing. All right, now it's time for a batch of Ask Airs. And we start out with, what is life's toughest mini game? Or maybe let's instead of just making it one, because we could debate that for the end, let's just think of a few. What are life's toughest mini games? Make that plural. First of all, do you define a mini game as like a temporary challenge in life that you have to get through? That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Not necessarily. Because, okay, you know, mini game, like, it could just be something that's ongoing, but you only have to do it, you know, part of the time.
Yeah, like maybe like Hadia, she has to monitor her blood sugar all the time and take insulin because she has diabetes.
Yeah.
Apparently somebody's at my front door, FYI.
Oh.
Yeah, all right. Well, I was going to say, like, every time you, like, do something for the first time, essentially that becomes, in my definition, a minigame. Like, the first time you have to buy a car, or the first time you have a kid, or the first time you get a dog, like, those are, like, little minigames.
That's not a minigame. That's like a boss fight.
It's a boss level? That's probably true.
Because there's, like... Every challenge you come over, there's a new challenge, and you have to figure that one out, and then you figure that one out, and then there's the next one until eventually you defeat the boss and get the treasure.
That's true. The treasure is sometimes a bittersweet treasure. That's the real thing about life. Sometimes you get that thing you've always wanted, and then you go, oh, shit, this is way worse than I thought it would be.
You went through that entire dungeon, and all you got was some flippers.
Yeah. Or a new car payment in this particular analogy. Well, I suppose those are ones.
Speaking of payments, that would be my mini game is paying bills every month, figuring out, oh, okay, so I'm getting money now and I have to pay this much by this time. But this thing might happen, so I would need to figure out a backup plan to make sure that doesn't fall through.
That has been my last 2 years. Oh, man. Yeah. And it's really grinding me down, as you know, as we've talked about off air.
It's really getting to me already, and I've only been doing it a couple months.
Yeah, even today. You know, the thing is, it's just when you own your own business or you're an independent worker and you go through some major life event in addition, like, so for your case, moving, in my case, three years ago, it was a divorce. And I don't know what I knew when the process started. I knew that the first year afterwards would probably be a pretty big struggle because, you know, I got to get my own place. I got to get new everything. I got to, you know, I just got to, you know, just rebuy so many things that you're just going to be digging out of that hole for a year. But it turns out it's really kind of been more like 3 years now. And it doesn't really see – I don't really see many signs of ending. And so, yeah, that is – if it's – this is not a mini game, though. This is like a side world game that I did not plan to play but went through the portal, and now I'm fighting my way back to the regular game. I don't think I call it a mini game.
It's a sub-full game in your game.
Yes. I don't know. I feel more optimistic about it than I have for a long time, so that's good. That's good. I always wait for things to just stabilize out. Things are going to just smooth out, but that never really happens. That's not life. That's not the way things go in life. Okay. Let's keep moving on because we got it. We could spend all day on each one of these. Hashtag Ask Air. What video game was worth it? Which video game was worth it? Which video game was worth it to buy, you know, $60 and play?
Well, I have two that immediately popped to mind. First is the original Zelda back on the Nintendo.
Yes.
And you're probably going to say Super Mario Brothers because you're predictable.
And Metroid for me on the Nintendo platform. My
Metroid's really good.
Yeah, Nintendo is my fun game. Metroid's a game that I will actually complete usually. I almost never complete Mario games completely. I get close, lose interest though. But with Metroid, I get to be kind of a completionist there.
But if we're talking about modern games.
Yeah, I was thinking.
One would be Mass Effect, one of my favorite games of all time. I hate that EA ruined the series though. But Mass Effect was just an amazing game. I couldn't get enough of it. And Mass Effect 2 was just more of the same.
Yeah.
Path of Exile, which actually is definitely worth it because you don't have to pay for it. It's like Diablo, except better.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've not played that. Diablo would be in my was worth it column. The first Diablo?
Oh, yeah. The first Diablo, the second Diablo, the third one, not so much.
Yeah, that's sort of how I feel.
That also reminds me of StarCraft. Really love StarCraft and Warcraft.
Yeah. You know, while we're talking, I'll give you an old game of mine and a modern game. So my modern game, since we're just talking modern games, November 7th, 2006, Gears of War came out for the Xbox 360. And it was just around the time, I think it was John, my buddy John, But so, if somebody, a buddy and my, and my, my buddy and I, we both had the Xbox 360 and we both were just interested. It was that, Johnny Darko. You remember the Gears of War commercial with the Johnny Darko song?
Oh, the Donnie Darko song. Oh, what the hell's that song?
Familiar Places. You remember that, that song?
Mad World.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one. Mad World. Yeah, yeah. The Mad World trailer. That was... That was so good.
All around me are familiar faces.
So, for so, maybe it was that commercial. I don't know what. But it really got me into wanting to play the game. And so, on November 6, 2006, actually went out and bought a brand new game on the release day, like waited even, is one of the only times I've invested that much interest into a game, and I don't know what why they got me, and then I played the hell out of it. I just co-opted the whole thing, and it was the most amazing co-op, because this was kind of new back then, and plus I wasn't a huge gamer, still not, and so it was just a well-refined co-op. It was enough story to keep me interested, but not so much that it really slowed the game down. It produced interesting combat mechanics, like the if you nail the reload time just right, you get like a little boost, and all of these things that just made the experience fun. Plus, it gave me something to do with the Xbox 360. So Gears of War was one of those totally worth it games for me. I still remember getting it. That was my modern game. I haven't really had a game grab me like that back in the old days. Back, I don't even know if I... 1993, maybe? 92? Your dad's old, Dylan. Your dad is old. because I was... I don't know, Dylan. How old would I have been in 1992?
10.
Okay, so yeah, I was a little older than you. And I remember this is one of those games where we got on my mom's computer. Grandma. We got on Grandma's computer, and... my friend Kevin was playing with me, and we got on around 7 p.m. at night, and he was spending the night that night. He was sleeping over. And Mom didn't stop us. And I looked at the clock at 7, started playing the Star Trek, the 25th anniversary game, did not look back at the clock until 3 a.m. or something like that, and did not realize we had played until 3 a.m. Nobody stopped us. Nobody said anything. And we were just – and I the only reason I even stopped to look – it's because we were so stumped. We didn't know what to do. And it's not, there was no Google. You couldn't go Google what to do when you got stuck in the game. So you just had to keep trying over and over and over again. And so it was finally at 3 a.m. that we got really stuck for about a good 45 minutes. And we looked up at the clock. And now you can buy that game for $9.99 and run it in DOSBox. But back then, I think we had it on CDs or diskettes. Some really good gameplay out of that. So, you know, but yeah, the Mario games are pretty good. Dylan's game, I know, is going to be Minecraft. Dylan plays the heck out of Minecraft.
Oh, yeah. I actually was going to say that, too. Like, I paid, way back in the day, I paid, like, $15 for Minecraft. I have literally gotten, like, 10,000 hours out of that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Dylan's recently been picking up Rust, which is a pretty interesting game. What do you think between Rust and Minecraft, Dylan? If you could only have one, you're stranded on an island. You can only have one game. Would you take Minecraft with you or would you take Rust?
That's hard because Rust is really cool and it has some cool things. And then Minecraft is also really cool and it has different cool things.
Yeah. But they have similar. They have building. They have scavenging. So there's some similar elements. You craft a place to live.
I really like both of them.
I think you go Minecraft. You've got, like, the commands down for Minecraft and that kind of stuff, and that's...
Yeah, but the commands got ruined with the new snapshots for 1.13.
Really?
Like, the commands, I type in a normal command, and it says, this command does not exist. And then I also, whenever I type in slash, like, a lot of people don't know it, but if you... type in, like, if you just hit slash, it opens the chat and it has slash there so that you can immediately do your command.
Sure.
And whenever I hit slash, it puts slash in the chat and then there's another slash.
Mm-hmm. Which is really obnoxious because you're just trying to go as fast as possible.
Yeah, and then I start typing in the command and using tab. and then I finally do the command and I'm like... No, because there's two slashes, and then the new thing where you could select your command, that sort of messes me up because whenever I press the up arrow, it doesn't retype in.
Yeah, they messed up your workflow. All right, I got a solution for you.
I have to type it in again.
You want to know the solution? Just forget Rust or Minecraft. We'll just bring Rocket League to the island. All right, we got to do it. We got to do another question. Let's see. Otherwise, again, see, these are all great. Hashtag Ask Air. What is the best twist to a movie you've watched? What's the best twist to a movie? Fear, do you have one in mind?
I have like half a dozen.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you got it. Well, you can pick a couple.
Well, the obvious one is going to be Fight Club.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a go-to. Yep. Yeah. Just not to say that you're stealing mine, but that would definitely be one of my tops.
Are we going to reveal these twists? Or like, are we going to?
No, I don't think we should. No.
I would also say Donnie Darko.
Yes. Yeah, and also what's the Unbreakable? Not Unbreakable, but Sixth Sense. But those are all obvious. I want to take just a distraction. Can we do TV shows? Or is that too much?
I haven't really thought about TV shows.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Discovery has just totally gone in a totally new direction. This is the second time in one season everything about the show has changed. Like the first three episodes are absolutely nothing like the next like eight episodes, and then the last two episodes are nothing like the first nine episodes or ten episodes. It's like. And it's good. It's all really good. I'm really impressed. But they have made some big twists. That's what's on the front of my mind right now is I did not expect this from Discovery. It's a totally different kind of storytelling for Star Trek, which I think is why people are freaking out. Whew, but I tell you, it feels modern. It feels good. I'm sitting back. I'm watching this stuff, and I'm going, wow, I can't believe they're doing it.
I'd say that there's two really popular TV shows that would come to mind. That would be Game of Thrones. They, I'll just say that they're not afraid to kill characters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also Walking Dead for the same reason,
oh, yeah.
Actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to start spoiling stuff because you could really get into spoiling stuff here.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen any of Discovery yet.
Save it up. Might as well wait. I mean, the season, you know, wait till the season ends, then you don't have to, you know, just watch it all at once.
Yeah.
I just like watching it because I have a really, really, really hard time avoiding spoilers because all the algorithms to all the different sites that I use, like YouTube and Twitter and Google Now and
they pop up
Google News and
videos with spoilers
constantly giving me spoilers and you can get spoiled just by the image that they use for the story, especially like in combination. Like I found out about a character's death in an episode, two episodes ago, because of a title and an image. They didn't say who the character was, but it was revealed in the preview, the thumbnail preview of the article, of the image. And so, it would have been shocking. I would not have seen it coming. They would have completely surprised me, but it was spoiled because of algorithms. So I watch it night that it, I try to watch it the night that it airs, and I don't always, and every time I get spoiled.
If there's a show that regularly surprises me, it would be Doctor Who. Like they come up with new plot twists like every season, and I never expect it.
I can't get off the spoiler thing. I feel like we're in a worse age of spoilers, even though everybody is more spoiler conscious now because so many people batch watch stuff these days. But it's just worse. Anyways, yeah. Okay. Well, that we kind of sucked it. Let's.
Well, hang on. I got two more movies though.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
One is Planet of the Apes because it's a classic.
Mm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't see the spoiler coming either. And then there's also a movie that I think a lot less people have watched, and it's called Memento, that has a really, really interesting spoiler, especially if you get invested in the movie.
Those are almost sounds like good Netflix recommendations if they're on there. LinuxAcademy.com/unplugged. Go there to support the User Air program, but also get a free 7-day trial to a platform to learn more about Linux. It's a full featured training library with everything you need to learn new skills, to advance your career, challenge yourself and try out something totally new. Self-paced, in-depth video courses on every Linux, cloud, and DevOps topic. Hands-on, scenario-based labs that give you experience in a real-world environment. You SSH into these beasts, you get to do stuff, run the real commands, work with the real software, and build the confidence so you know how to do the job. And they have full-time human instructors if you ever get stuck or need a little bit of help. Actual human beings that are experts on the topics. That's just one of the many things that makes Linux Academy a completely unique platform. That's why they've been blowing up in the industry, and now with their public profiles, you can ride on that legitimacy. You can link to the profile of all the stuff you've done, all the courses you've taken, and you're cashing in on Linux Academy's cachet. Cashing in on the cachet. They have practice exams, certification training, a community stacked full of Jupyter Broadcasting members, and so much more. They have iOS and Android apps, comprehensive study guides, and audio you can listen to on the go as well. So why not get started with a free 7-day trial? LinuxAcademy.com/unplugged. Okay, next one. I think we're going to get through these. I feel like we should break it up here in a moment. But all right, hashtag, I know it sounds weird, but just try it. What is it? What is your hashtag, I know it sounds weird, but just try it? That's one long ass hashtag, guys. So what's your it's weird, but just try it thing, Rika? I got a weird one. I got a really weird one.
I feel like it would be food related, but I can't think of it at the moment.
Yeah, mine is. Mine's food related. My it's really weird, but you might like it is bologna. Just a slice of bologna with peanut butter on top. What, Dylan? You don't like that?
No.
And then raisins.
It sounds gross.
And then raisins on top.
What the?
And then you roll it up and eat it like a roll.
Get the heck out of here.
Well, I mean, there's always the classic cheese in your ramen.
Yeah, cheese and ramen have done that too. Cheese and ramen, though, that adds some nice creamy protein to it. That's not weird.
And texture. Oh, that's super weird. Like, I get what? Weird looks whenever I mention it.
Cheese and ramen?
Yeah.
Well, it's more common in the Asians, you know, the Asian cultures over there in the Asias, in the East. Yeah, in the East. So sitting down in the shower, that's also quite nice. Something that you could try.
Is that weird?
Well, if you're like Dylan, you just kind of run around in circles in the shower and dance all around.
Just lay on the floor of the shower.
You saw that video?
Who, me? No, I can't confirm or deny if there's video of it. Yeah, you're partying in there is what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
I just party in there. And then I have the water pouring into my mouth and then I go,
Yeah, there's the one I know if Hadia was here, the one that she would recommend food related would be some of the crazy stuff that she puts on popcorn. She puts all kinds of crazy stuff on there. She can make it taste like cheddar popcorn without putting any dairy on there.
That's crazy.
What?
Yeah, she's got like nooch or something that she puts on there. I don't remember what it's called. And she sprinkles it on there and you'd swear that's got like a cheese coating on it. And she's got a few popcorn tricks. What about you, Dill? You got anything weird but you should try it?
If you haven't tried bananas and peanut butter, that is really good to some people.
You know what else I like?
I'm not really a fan of that, but a lot of people love it.
Bacon and peanut butter.
Bacon and peanut butter? Yep. I have never tried
that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Bacon and milkshakes.
Wow. That sounds crazy. I guess a lot of people like bacon and chocolate. I
mean, speaking of milkshakes, I'm going to go get my milkshake.
Okay,
put some bacon.
You go get your milkshake. We'll answer another question. Okay, this is one that I don't really know if I have a direct answer for because I kind of feel like I might have already. We'll try it. We'll see. Hashtag, what are you currently struggling with? I mean, hashtag ask air, what are you currently struggling with? Sorry, the last question was such one long hashtag, it messed me up. Hashtag ask air, what are you currently struggling with? All right, that's a good one.
Money.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, which is so boring because we've already talked about that. You know, I'll tell you. Okay, all right. So here's one. I have a busted propane system on my RV right now. And it's no big deal because we got 50-amp service, so we got full power now at the junkyard. So we just, you know, we got electric heaters and we got an electric cooktop, and we're just making do. But for like 2 months, we haven't had a furnace and we haven't had a stovetop. And we haven't had the ability to heat our water with propane, which is nice when we're on the road, because the water heater takes a considerable amount of power. So these are all things that we haven't had. But, you know, we've been making do for about 2 months because we can heat the water with electricity. We have both options. And we got the hot plate and we got the electric heaters. So, you know, we've essentially got it covered. But it's a simple problem. But it's extremely dangerous and it could blow up my home. So it's one of these, the part that is broken may just be the regulator, which might, it could just be a $25 part that needs to be replaced. But in the meantime, it involves like leaking propane. Like you can smell the propane walking around the RV. And at one point I could even hear it hissing. It is just, it's hazardous. It's dangerous to some people in some ways. If you know what you're doing, it's a simple repair. People have said you could get it done in 3 minutes with a $25 part. But I can't get anybody to do the work. I call them up and I'm like, hey, I've got a propane system. It's got a leak. I'd like you to maybe come out here and take a look at it. And they say, oh, yeah, we could do that, Mr. Fisher. We'll start taking a look at that. And I start to scratch. Oh, it's on an RV? Yeah, sorry, I don't work on RVs.
Wow.
Well, it's just a propane tank with a regulator. It's not like they don't make propane tanks and regulators just for RVs. It's a standard propane thing.
This isn't an RV propane bomb.
Right. And the problem is though is that RV shops are like 4 to 6 weeks out. So we just never really get around to it. You know, we could and then sometimes they want to actually keep the vehicle for like a week, which I'm not going to go live at an RV dealership for a week
for a 3 minute fix.
Yeah, that's the worst thing is if you really know what you're doing, it's boom, boom. You know, you pull the regulator out. Everything just lines right back up. You just have to have a little pipe dope. You put that on there. You put it back in there. I mean, I understand the principles of it. It's just, A, it's explosive work, and B, I don't actually have all the tools necessary. So this has been something that you would think would be dead simple. And yet here we are 2 months into it, and I can't get anybody to take the money I don't have to have them fix it. Well, and that's the other problem is I can't just like go crazy and just get like a handyman that's $125 an hour to come out there and work on it because I can't afford that.
Have you tried asking any of the other local RVers for recommendations?
Well, a listener to the show who is a fellow RVer may be coming out this week to at least give another once over with me and see if we can't just figure it out. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, but it's been a long journey to get to.
The light at the end of the tunnel might be you dying, though.
Yeah. Well, if Lady Jupes blows up, you'll know what happened, I guess. It's just awful. And go figure, too, is everything was working great. You know, system's just been flawless for like 2 years. But then on our way out to a campsite, we're like, well, it's getting cold. We might just want to fill up on the propane. And after that moment, we started having issues. It was rough. Dylan, you got anything you're struggling with in life right now as a young lad? Besides that milkshake? School's good.
Yeah, I'm way above grade level at school.
Yeah, you're doing good there. Mm. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you don't have a quick answer to that. That's the answer as your father I'd like to hear.
I will say yeah. I have a problem that I didn't know I had until actually people that I work with kind of pointed it out to me. I love JP. I really love JP. But
oh, where is this going? This is a couch. Get ready, Dylan.
But I'm realizing more and more that the editing is just not what I want to be doing for the long term.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
and I'm struggling with that because you know it's a good paycheck, and I need the money. But I want to do something else, but I don't know how to get from here to there and also do it in a way that is a good transition for JB at the same time. So it's its own mini game as well.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of when I was like, God, I know I'm getting done doing IT, but this was like a year before I was done because I couldn't even visualize how I was going to bridge from one career track to a completely different career track. You know, doing IT, which seemed just like obvious because I know how to make money at that. You know, I know how we bill. I know all the angles of that to something that's really I'm not even sure how I make money at it, but I know I'm done doing this thing. And that was a struggle right before, really about a year before Dylan was born that I was facing. And by the time Dylan came along, I think I was just about, I think I've been full-time at JB for about as long as Dylan's been alive. So he's never known me as working at any other job.
Yeah, you kind of just, it feels like you have to do it, but like figuring out how to get there just seems like an insurmountable task.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that is, it's like, and then it's hard to get above it and kind of come to your solution when you're kind of marred in it too.
Yeah.
Like the emotional baggage of it and just the actual practical, like functional, have to get the job done aspect of it. It makes it hard to sort of get to that headspace where, because to me, for me at least, I kind of have to be in a good mood. I kind of have to be feeling good. Things have to be going in a certain way. Like, you know, for me to kind of project out and visualize something that's positive and not just shitty and more work and more cost and just I got to be in a good place before I even start that process, which it feels like these days there's lesser and lesser opportunities to be in that place.
Yeah. And you want to also, you know, figure out how to do it without like screwing anybody over too.
Yeah. 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 For me, it was my clients.
I do kind of feel like I'm following in your footsteps because you transitioned away from editing by hiring me.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Apparently, maybe I just need to hire someone to edit for me.
Right. It's very grindy work, too, as part of it. So that's sort of it. I wonder how long I'll be able to edit new TechSnap. I'm not really sure. I'm still in the phase where each time I edit it, it's getting a little bit easier. So I haven't like plateaued out yet, which is when it really starts to get grindy. Is when you sort of plateaued, it really starts to feel like, oh man, I'm doing this again, doing the same crap again, which I'm not there yet. So we've done three or four of new tech snaps, three. And, we'll see.
It's really weird. I don't actually mind editing audio as much. For some reason, like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
User error, I really don't mind editing it at all. But it's like all the other shows, just like, I feel like I've just gotten into this routine that drives me crazy.
You don't think it's like the software or the visual aspect versus listening? You think it's just you've been editing the video ones so much longer?
Yeah. But yeah. even the ones that have changed, they still feel just super grindy. I think I'm just done editing.
Yeah. And then once you get there, then you have to live in this spot where you're like, well, now that I realize I don't want to do this, but I still have to do this, it makes it even worse.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, it's like one of these like twists to life, really, is you kind of sometimes have to be done or sick of, or like today you and I were talking about like a way to like build out a bench of just go-to co-hosts. So if we record at a random time, we can just go to one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's not really something we start seriously discussing until we're already in a position of needing to be there, right?
Yep.
So it's like you have to like do it sometimes the wrong way to figure out how to do it the right way.
Yeah. Well, the good news for you is I don't know how to make this transition, so you probably have an editor for quite a while longer.
Oh, man. Until one day, the right opportunity opens up. You never know. It's happened to others on the network, so you never know.
Yep, I'll be like, I got a new job. I'll be willing to train somebody for the next couple of weeks. Find somebody.
Biesies! Then Dylan has to get up to speed on editing. He maybe, overtakes you 5 years. It may actually become his job.
Dylan's already better than I am at editing.
Child labor. Child labor for the win, I say. He'd probably be up for it, too, as long as I paid him in milkshakes.
How about money instead?
If you could pick your own name, what would you pick?
Ooh. If you could pick your own name, I would think I would want something splashy so that way people remember it. And I also would want a name that has multiple syllables because... So listen to the difference, the pleasant difference between Christopher Fisher and Chris Fisher. See, Chris is too short. Chris Fisher. But Christopher actually sounds better. So had I realized that before I started my illustrious podcast career, I would have gone Christopher on air, even though I'm Chris in personal life, because it is easier to say on air, even though it's more. It, for me... Because I enunciate it the way I enunciate it, it's easier for me to say, and it's easier to say it on a beat. Christopher Fisher.
It's also harder to spell, so people won't highlight you as much.
That's true. Well, I might go with Kristen, like on those places still, but so I would want a name that if I could change my name, the one thing I would change about it is something like, so you'll notice, like, take example, Uncle Leo. He puts the emphasis on Laporte. So what he does is Leo Laporte. So he does kind of like this up, Leo, and then it comes down, Laporte. And that's his way of doing it. So, but because Fisher, I guess I could do Christopher Fisher, but that sounds ridiculous, right?
Fisher.
Yeah. So what about you? Do you have one? Do you have a name you would pick? You want to think about it while Beard tells us his? Okay, you tell us yours, Beard, and then he'll think of one.
Well, first of all, Chris, I gotta say you're super boring. Like, you stuck with your name. You just chose the longer version of your name.
Well, no, I hadn't really said that was going to be the name. I'm just saying that would be the rules I would follow.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if I have one. I mean, because you want to honestly know? Because the first one that came to mind didn't follow my rules, so I couldn't go with it. Because the first one that came to mind was Buck Rogers.
Wow.
You like that? It'd be good, right?
Buck. It would be Burger Fry.
Hello and welcome to the show. Welcome to the episode this week. My name is Buck Rogers.
You're such a nerd.
James T. Kirk.
The thing is, for me, I kind of already did it.
Like, that's with Rikai?
Yeah, I actually like that name a lot. And
yeah, that is true.
Everybody calls me by it except my family.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Why don't your family call you?
Well, because they call him by his real name. His real name isn't Rikai.
What is it?
Have you revealed it on air? I mean, people, you must have, right?
I don't think I've said it on air, but people know it.
Well, you got to wait now. You got to hold it. Now we got to make it a tease. We'll tell you after the show, Dill. We'll tell you, but we'll tell you after the show. Now I want to tease it out for a bit before we reveal it. We got to make it special. We're going to reveal his actual name. Oh, yeah. Of course I do. Yep.
My real name is actually Beard.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. That would be really good, actually. That'd be a great real name. I like, you know, something with some stage presence. I know that is, I didn't realize that was something a lot of radio people do. Now I know why. So it wouldn't be Buck Rogers, but it wouldn't be a bad fallback position. Did you come up with one? You have a bunch of nicknames. He has a ton of nicknames.
Maybe Bartholomew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll do that.
Bartholomew.
Tholomander.
Tholomander would be good. That's one of my favorites. Tholomander is a good one. That's a Tholomander. You could make a song out of that.
His name's Tholomander.
Yeah.
His name's Tholomander.
He's a Tholomander. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay.
I can't think of one, but I feel like I would also like to have a Viking name.
Oh, yeah, like a...
Just a really strong name.
Yeah, a warrior's name.
Vikings do have long beards.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Rikai's name, maybe Rikai could dye his beard white and then maybe call him Santa.
Or just when he gets old.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's a gig you could make money at. I mean, I know you don't want to be Santa, but damn, is that not a gig in the holidays? You could make some money.
I should give it a try.
Go for it.
Like, yeah. $100.
I got the body shape. I got the beard.
So we should probably move on, but I want to say thanks, everybody. Hashtag ask air, send in your questions, and we'll answer them on a future show.
So, Chris, you're immersing yourself in technology. How would you like to just have technology in bed?
Okay.
Smart pajamas.
I thought you were going somewhere else. Smart pajamas. What smart pajamas? What do you need smart pajamas for?
Like you can activate things. Like you don't have to have
switches.
Like Alexa.
Cancel.
Like, across the room.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So you control the lights with your pajamas.
Like you could turn on, like if you have any sisters or brothers, you could turn on the lights in their room with your pajamas and you control them. And
Oh no.
There could be alarm clock commands. I don't know where you could set a time for your alarm clock.
Fascinating.
Well,
then you could just troll their alarm clock and make it so that it goes off.
This all just sounds like you would just use smart pajamas to troll your sisters is what I'm hearing here. So, Beer, why would I actually want Bluetooth LE-enabled pajamas?
Well,
what the hell?
The pitch that this Zenoma company has is it's actually for dementia patients. So you can use it to, like, detect motion or monitor vitals.
Oh, man. With you it totally just being see closed. How that'd be useful in hospitals, too, right? Yep.
That's what they're pitching it as. And it's even got the whole chest piece like Iron Man, the big circle on the front. Mm-hmm. But
that was the first thing I noticed, too.
Yeah. What I thought was...
I think that's the Echo right there.
That looks like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Maybe.
It's not.
Maybe this could be the solution to proper movement in VR.
I think...
You just toss on some pajamas under your clothes, and you can just move around in VR because it can detect your motion.
What do you think of that? That's a really good idea. That is a really... Now I'm getting it. Now we're talking like Ready Player One level of VR. That's in Ready Player One, they have essentially bodysuits they put on, visors, obviously, hand controls, and then they stand on a 360-degree treadmill, and then they spend their entire day in the Oasis in this VR environment, including going to school and things like that. Like students, kids have these things in their house, and they get in these systems, and then they go to school. And they're in a virtual school that's there with a teacher that's, you know, an adult in a VR suit. And one of the things that they do in this environment, which is really interesting, is like they censor bad words so the kids can't swear in the chat and stuff like that. It's really interesting to see what you could go if a society as a whole went all in on VR. Ready Player One is a fascinating read. That is it right there. That's if you were into VR, that's it. But so that means these things are never going to sell.
Maybe. The thing is, like, they're hitting all the right things, though. It's Bluetooth LE, so it's a standard protocol. It includes an accelerometer and a gyroscope, so it's got the movement covered. It's got an 8-hour charge, so, you know, full day of gaming.
Wow.
And they're planning for it to be less than $100 and be out by 2020.
Okay, well, I mean, that's actually sort of legit. What would the price have to be, though, for it to actually be usable? Like, you know, like, because you're already spending like almost a grand to get a decent VR setup plus a nice PC, right? A grand anymore, but if you want a nice setup.
I think for a motion tracking bodysuit that can also track other things like your heart rate and stuff, under $100 is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, so they're saying less than 100, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So if they're saying less than 100, yeah, and it's also, yeah, it's something that could be additive too.
Especially so, since you're paying like $80 for the regular controllers anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, the smart pajamas are here. So you got lady tubes built into your toilets, and you got smart pajamas. It's going to drive Noah crazy.
I actually think Noah would love these smart pajamas. Just walk into a room and have his house, as long as it's not cloud-connected smart pajamas.